forces in Santa Cruz last April remain shrouded in mystery. Was he a revolutionary bent on the overthrow of the Bolivian government? Or was he a mere harmless patsy caught up in something he neither understood nor cared for? Either way, the story of his death and life have cropped up in Mayo, where he worked briefly for a controversial security firm, IRMS, at the Carb Gas site. I'm joined by Mike Clifford of the Sunday Tribune and by St. John O'Donovan of the Shell to Sea campaign. St. John is on the telephone. Michael is with me in studio. Michael, first of all, just bring us briefly through the circumstances of Michael Dwyer's death as we know them and whether since his death anything by way of clarification has emerged.
Yes, Pat, he was shot in the Bolivian city of Santa Cruz in a hotel room there with two other gentlemen. The official version from the Bolivian authorities is that the three of them are on their way to assassinate the president, Evo Morales. Now, we do know that Santa Cruz is a hotbed of political activity in Bolivia. It very much seems to be anti-Morales in that you'd have a lot of formerly, what you might call the bosses class, the right-wing type of people who generally ran Bolivia and a lot of South American countries, as we know, going back decades. Morales is a new type of leader, similar in a lot of ways to Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. The official version is that the three of them were on their way to assassinate Morales, that there was a shootout there, and in the midst of this shootout, the three of them were shot dead. We also saw some very gruesome photographs afterwards of the bodies. The problem is, we don't know. We don't know exactly how he died. All we do know is it was highly unusual for a young man like him to have been there at the time. Now, his route to Bolivia, it seems, began through his connections with IRMS, the security firm that are working on the Carb gas field in Mayo. He met some people there and he accompanied them over to Bolivia. There certainly seems to be some questions over the security firm. They took down their website very shortly after Michael Dwyer died. But in terms of the young man himself, all we know is that he was over there. He was with some unsavory characters. It appears there were guns involved, that he had guns. It appears that those he was with certainly had sympathies with the right-wing elements in Bolivia. We do not know, as you said, whether he was as... He certainly wasn't a hardened revolutionary or anything of that sort, because a few short years before that, he was merely a student in Galway. We also know there is nothing in his background, his family or his college background, to the best that I can find out, that suggests he had any of these far-right sympathies, which would be similar to the ones, those are the people he ended up dead with. Now, those are the circumstances of his death. Some things have emerged since. It does seem that he was involved with some groups in Bolivia since he went there. I should say he was only there for 6 months.
Yeah.
Now, it certainly seems he was involved with some shady groups there. To what extent is unclear. My point in all this is, the extent of his involvement is not the relevant point as far as us back here are concerned.
Now, you mentioned IRMS. How long did he work with that company on the Carb gas site?
I think at the most it was about 6 months.
Relatively short time. But obviously, if you work for 6 months in any company, you get to know a lot of the lads that you're working
absolutely.
With.
Absolutely. And it was true. It does seem to be the case that it was through those connections that he ended up going to Bolivia. I think there's no doubt about that. He was a 24-year-old man. I think we were all 24 at various stages. And I know from my own experience, I did a bit of wandering and I could have got into the kind of scrapes that I wouldn't want in my CV either. But it may have been something far more serious. The point is, we don't know. And the other point that should be made is there is an official version of events from Bolivia. Now, there's a long history of human rights abuses in that country, most of them from the regimes that preceded Morales, and they were against socialists like Morales. But I think it's safe to say, and I think it would be fair to say, that merely because Morales, who was a socialist, who was a champion of the poor, came to power, that does not mean that he completely abandoned the tradition whereby those who opposed the government, where their human rights were abused to
indeed, some if there is within, for example, the police force a particular methodology of doing things, that's unlikely to change overnight,
exactly.
Even under a new regime. So that's a given. Now, he had a short history at the Shell Carb gas project. How in depth has he become linked with the whole thing again?
Well, listen, this came to my attention through somebody I knew who told me about a protest, and I got this confirmed afterwards, on the 29th of June in Shop Street in Galway. It began in Shop Street anyway. And the Shell to Sea protest, we all know the history of Shell to Sea. We all know there are various strands to the protest. At this protest, there were photographs of Michael Dwyer, some of them taken from newspaper clippings, showing him with guns, photographs that were taken from the internet, and there were slogans such as Shell Mercenary. Now, it just seems to me that a young man like that, whatever he got involved in, he has a family back here. His family quite obviously don't know what exactly happened. By all accounts, they were completely shocked at the outcome of his death, and they're doing their best to investigate it. He has a family back here. He was in college in Galway a couple of years before all this happened, and a few short years later, he's being used by people, or he appears to be used by elements of the protest to further their agenda in their protest against Shell and portraying Shell in a particular way. Now, they're perfectly entitled to portray Shell any way they want, and actually I wouldn't be unsympathetic to some of the elements of their protest, but to use Michael Dwyer in that fashion, I just thought, and that was the basis of the column I wrote, I just thought, particularly when you have a family that are grieving who don't know what happened to them, and to use them in such a public fashion, I thought was out of order.
So in this protest they were using a picture of him with the paramilitary type,
yeah,
with
some particularly, there's one photograph particularly stripped from the waist, and he's wielding small arms revolvers or small arms. He's wielding them. That was one of the photographs I saw. I saw a couple of these photographs. Now I also say, I rang some people because I looked at the Shell story over the years. I rang some people locally who are familiar with the protest in the various public meetings, and it was confirmed to me by various sources that that is not the first time that Michael Dwyer's name or image was used in this manner, that he has been used elsewhere to further the agenda of the protest.
All right, Senator O'Donovan, how would you respond to this? Because it would appear that elements within your campaign are using this dead young man and the images of him that are out there as a stick to beat Shell with.
Well, thank you for having me on, Pat. I'd like to say, first of all, that I agree with a lot of what Michael Clifford is saying. Like, we don't know the full story of what happened in Bolivia. Nobody does. But what we do know is that there is a direct link from the compound here in Glengad to the hotel room in Bolivia where Michael Dwyer was unfortunately killed.
Well, there's one link, and that is Michael Dwyer.
No, that's not correct.
What's the other link, then?
The other link is through a man called Tibor Revez, who worked also in Glengad, who is a member of the Sezekler Legion, which is a violent right-wing paramilitary group which organizes in the state of Romania, aiming to win what they call freedom for ethnic Hungarians in that area. So he would have introduced Mr. Dwyer to Mr. Flores, who's one of the other one of the other people killed in Bolivia.
He was the leader, and he had an extraordinary. We did a lot of stuff on him on the program some months ago. He had an extraordinary life because he definitely was on the other side. He was a socialist, a committed communist at one point, and then he seems to have flip-flopped a bit. To the point of where it's alleged he was anti-socialist in Bolivia and paid for that with his life. He was a poet, he was a dreamer, he was an idealist.
He certainly was that, and he was a lot more as well. He was involved with a lot of other right-wing groups in Croatia before, and he, by his own words, he went to Bolivia to create violent unrest and to overthrow the democratically elected government.
But your point is what? That IRMS are employing people of dubious background? You're talking about Tibor Revez. Is that what you're saying? That security companies like IRMS should vet their people and have nobody with any kind of idealism behind them? They should be purely professional and not idealistic in any way.
Well, there's a long way between being professional and having proven histories of being involved in violent right-wing paramilitary organizations, which would be the case with Mr. Revez and Mr. Flores. And we would argue that the vetting regime in place for security companies such as IRMS is lacking in the extreme. Like, after there have been a large number of very sinister incidents happening up here in Mayo, such as the beating of Willie Corduff, the sinking of Pat O'Donnell's boat, boat.
Yeah. But all of this is the subject, as you know, absolute denials, categorical denials by Shell that it has anything to do with them. And sometimes when things happen, you have to ask, particularly things that happen in the public glare, you have to ask, whose interests are served by this happening? Do you know what I mean? I never believe the first version of a story. I want to hear all the versions before I come to a conclusion.
Well, I can certainly tell you that Willie Carduff did not want to be in hospital for 2 days. That Pat O'Donnell's boat, which was worth 60,000, is very little use to him in protesting or fishing or any other way at the bottom of the sea, nowhere near the pipeline route.
No, but what I'm asking is, why would Shell actually do things like this, which would only heap more odium upon them? It would be so counterproductive for them to do such a thing. It gives you another campaign plank to beat them over the head with. So why would they do it?
Well, obviously Shell don't admit any liability for these kind of things. Why would they do it is because they want to. There's a long history of using, kind of strong arm groups and motivation by fear. Now, both Mr. Carduff and Mr. O'Donnell are very prominent activists, or very, very prominent campaigners, local campaigners against the Corrib gas project. And
I'm just thinking, though, of internment as the great recruiting sergeant for the IRA. I mean, you know, doing that to local people and, you know, the finger being pointed at Shell, it is, one would imagine, the last thing they would want at this stage.
Well, I'm sure it's the last thing that they want to have the finger pointed, but they can create just enough confusion around the issue, just enough so that, obviously, I can't prove that it was... That there was any connection between...
I can't prove either that it's not mischievous elements on your side that aren't looking for propaganda coups. You can't prove that either. So that's why it's still an open question. Until the Gardaí come up with an investigation that leads to charges, we cannot be judge and jury.
Okay, well, let me talk specifically about the incident with Mr. Carduff. Mr. Carduff was on a protest under a truck, as I'm sure you know, for a day and a night in April of this year. He came out at about 3 o'clock, and he was beaten to the ground by Shell Security, by IRMS, and he was...
Why have there been no charges?
Excuse me?
Why have there been no charges?
That's a matter for Mr. Carduff and for his lawyers. Like, I can tell you that Mr. Carduff was in hospital for 2 days after that. I've seen, personally seen photographs, well, they've been in the media, but I've personally seen a bruise from Mr. Carduff's waist to his knee that was every colour of the rainbow. And these are not some fantasized...
But what has this got to do with Michael Dwyer? This is the point that Michael says he's sympathetic in many ways to elements of your campaign. His problem is the utilization of photographs of Michael Dwyer, which were seen in the media, those posed photographs, and using them in the way that you have, making assumptions that this man was a mercenary thug for Shell.
Okay, well, if the incident with Michael Dwyer was an isolated incident, we obviously wouldn't be talking about it, but as part of the...
But what did Michael Dwyer ever do to offend against your campaign in Shell? I mean, if you had evidence that he attacked Willie Carduff or he did X, Y, or Z, A, B, C, you would be very justified in using him in this way. But that's not what you're saying. You are using photographs and his tragic end in Bolivia to make smoke on the Corrib gas issue.
I don't agree with that. What we're doing is... Michael Dwyer is one part of a chain that has emerged around very, very shady individuals like Mr. Revis, like Mr. Flores.
Has Mr. Flores anything to do with Shell?
If I could just finish.
No, you quote Mr. Flores. Has he anything at all to do with Shell? Did he ever work for IRMS or any of those?
No, he doesn't. But he, Mr. Revis introduced Mr. Dwyer to Mr. Flores.
Just one element that strikes me, St. John, and some of these various incidences that have to be investigated. Now, the other thing that strikes me is this is a very basic thing, and we're talking about common decency. We're in a small country. This man has died in the most unfortunate circumstances. His family are at a loss to know why he died, even how he died. And also, a couple of short years ago, he was a student in Galway. There are people walking around Galway City Centre who would have known him. Suddenly, they're walking up Shop Street. Here are his photographs wielding these guns, being shown as some sort of a symbol to highlight the protests against Shell. I'm just talking about common decency. Of course, further your agenda, whatever that may be, but why not leave that young man out of it, particularly when he has a family who are grieving him?
I think it's very important to say that those images were used in the context of a discussion on IRMS. There were part of a quite long document that details all of the problems that we have with IRMS. I don't want the impression to get out there that there's some big, large poster campaign with Michael Dwyer.
No, but his name and his image has been used.
Simply in this context, in the context of his involvement with the IRMS and the questions that these raise, and these are questions that it's in everybody's interest that there's a proper investigation in Bolivia, but also that there's proper investigation of the irregularities, the problems and the type of individuals who are dealing with protest here in North Mayo.
And is using his image in that regard more important than a bit of common decency?
I think that the image has been used as it hasn't been plastered all over the place. It hasn't become a large plank of our campaign or anything like that. It's part of a discussion around IRMS and legitimate concerns that we have around IRMS.
And would you not be better off giving a commitment that perhaps it might have been the wisest thing to do and you wouldn't do it in the future?
I don't think we can separate Michael Dwyer from this issue because he did go to Bolivia and the people that he was involved with.
Did he do anything at all wrong when he was down there at the Car of Gas? Do you know of anything he did that was wrong? Like, the way you're talking about him, you think he did intensive research into IRMS, decided that they were some sort of gateway to a paramilitary career in Bolivia. I mean, that's just ludicrous. This is a young fella who may have lost his way slightly, whether IRMS was the conduit or not, but you're using him in a way, in an area where there's no evidence of any misbehavior on his part at all.
I don't think he went to IRMS for any kind of sinister reasons, but what I do think, as I've said, is that he met with very, very sinister elements when he was in the employ of IRMS, and that there is not proper regulation of IRMS, that we've seen after each incident that has happened up here, we've seen categorical denials of any problems with regulation or anything like that.
Anyway,
followed immediately.
You are not going to withdraw his image from your campaign, however low key it might be.
Excuse me?
You're not going to withdraw his image from your campaign, no matter how low key the uses of that image will be.
I don't think so. I think his part in the story is an important part. And
all right, you're not returning anyway, St. John. Thank you very much for joining us. And Michael Clifford of the Sunday Tribune, thank you also.